2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. I give honor to the presbyter that is here. I'm so sorry I missed the name, but I honor him. Thank God for the men and women of God, youth pastors, saints of God. God bless you in Jesus' name. If you got the scripture, say amen. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. That's an old King James way to say restrain. He that now restrains or holds back will do so until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I want to preach to you something a little bit controversial tonight. Definitely kind of contrary to the climate that we are in our day, but I feel like it's a word from the Lord. I want to talk about the final pillar. The final pillar. Would you put your Bibles down? Let's lift our hands and our voices unto the Lord, and let's ask God to do what he wants to do. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the authority of the Word of God, by the power of the name Jesus, let the gift of faith be released upon us. Let wisdom and revelation be released upon every mind and every spirit. Let our hearts be good ground to receive the Word of the Lord tonight. I pray that eyes would see the reality of the day that we live in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. I rebuke all fear in the name of Jesus, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say, in Jesus' name. Would you say it as loud as you can? In Jesus' name. Let's clap our hands one more time unto the Lord and give God some praise. Praise God. Turn to three people. Give them a great compliment before you're seated, and then you can sit down. I want to give Daniel a compliment, man. That dude has some vert. Y'all see him leaping for joy? I'm afraid that his head's going to hit the ceiling or something. I'm not sure. We live in the United States of America. Amen. If you didn't know that, now you do, right? And I've been blessed to travel across the world to some degree, and I'm thankful for this country. Thankful that I live here. When you look at the history of the United States of America, the founding of this nation was very different than any other beginning in written history. The nation was immediately different, and the founding of this nation was done through a spirit of pilgrimage. People came across the ocean at great peril to their own lives to find a place that they could worship God in freedom, to be free from the tyranny of the old world and the Catholic system of domination. The last empire to rule the earth is the Roman Empire. And the old nations of Europe were first conquered physically by Rome, and then they were conquered spiritually by Rome. And so these pilgrims came out of that spirit, leaving the world that they knew behind, sort of like Abraham, leaving their family behind, leaving their past behind, and walking out of religious darkness into a place where they can worship God. And when they came here, they worshiped God in a way that was not common in Europe. They worshiped God in a way that they were persecuted for in Europe. When you go to the very first church that was founded in the original 13 colonies in Jamestown, Virginia, you will find a scripture on the walls. Anybody been to that church in Jamestown, Virginia? You'll find a scripture on the wall, and it's a very peculiar kind of scripture that's sort of dear to the hearts of Oneness Apostolic Pentecostals. It doesn't say John 3:16 on the wall. That's a nice scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It doesn't have Romans 10 and 9. It doesn't have 1 John 1 and 9. A lot of the anthem verses that the denominational world uses. Instead, it has Acts 2:38 on the wall. And you, in case you don't know that scripture, it's then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The only kind of people that I know that put scriptures like that on the wall are like us. I'm sorry, I don't see Baptists putting that on the wall. I don't see Episcopals putting that on the wall. I see us putting that on the wall. And this nation was immediately different. It wasn't ruled by kings and tyrants. It wasn't ruled by religious ideology. It wasn't ruled by cultural ideology. Okay. It was ruled by people who ruled themselves. In the process, the bondage of the old world was gradually stripped away. And this did not happen overnight. Remember, they're coming out of the darkness of the old system. Because the truth doesn't immediately set you free. The truth makes you free. It's a process. Let me define for you some of the old world influences that were stripped away. Religious tyranny was stripped away. Ideological tyranny. Immobility of initiative. Institutional racism. That's an old world spirit. Slavery is an old world spirit. And it was a people who sought truth and sought to worship God in spirit and in truth. And then here we have a nation that began to flourish like no other country ever had in history. Also, we have a nation in the United States of America that continuously rescued, bailed out, protected, paid for, and guided all the other nations of the earth. It is a nation that enshrined its dependence upon God. In God we trust is on our money. In God we trust, not in science we trust, not in the king we trust, not in the dictator we trust, but in God we trust. Our Pledge of Allegiance says one nation under God. Our founding father said that we depend upon and we have a firm reliance upon divine providence, and we appeal to the supreme judge of the world. We are not here on our own power. We yield to this higher power. There was another revolution that happened about the same time, just a few years later, 13 years later, than the American Revolution, the French Revolution. And there was quite a dramatic difference in the focus and outcomes of these revolutions. The French Revolution led to a horrendous and bloody reign of terror and a Napoleonic dictatorship that became the model for modern totalitarianism. The American Revolution was based upon a God-inspired desire to live free and submitted to God's law. The French Revolution was indeed a revolt against totalitarianism, but not in a desire to be free and submitted to God's law. It was in a desire to worship themselves. And 10 years after that revolution, they replaced one dictator for another, Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte. The American Revolution led to the longest sustained democracy in world history, the United States of America, that symbol of freedom. The American flag for so many decades has been the symbol of freedom and liberty and equality for the entire world. And the American Revolution, through the power of God, produced a nation that would be a shining light of hope and truth for all the world to see. The American Revolution produced a nation that would be a refuge for the oppressed. And you might think this is a patriotic message. Whatever you think is fine. I'm going to tell you the spiritual background of what's happening right now. in the 1900s, everybody say 1900s, a spirit of globalism was released upon the earth. The clock is ticking down. A global consciousness, a global communication, global warfare in the two world wars and in the Cold War that followed, global accountability and government, in the League of Nations, in the United Nations, global revival as well on a level never recorded before, global church expansion into every nation on every level. The USA led the way in these areas. It was the USA that delivered the world in the First and Second World Wars. God used the United States of America to push back the armies of the Antichrist that prematurely tried to take over the world. The Antichrist spirit does not have all knowledge. He's learning, and he got a little bit ahead of himself in the 1900s and tried to take over. And God used the United States of America to push it back. It was the USA that guarded the world during the Cold War. It was the USA that led to the formulation of the League of Nations and the United Nations. It's incredible because you're not going to hear any of this stuff in your history classes in school. They're going to talk about how demonic this nation is, how colonial, institutionalized we are, and how domineering we are. But God blessed the USA, that it was the USA that sent apostolic missionaries all over the world, in every part of the world, sent these American missionaries to preach truth and to fund world revival. God promoted the United States of America into a position of global governance. Therefore, it was Satan's business to destroy that position. The 1900s also saw the tremendous growth of an internal moral decay in the United States of America. The foundation of the USA was built upon the pillars of Judeo-Christian values. Everybody say Judeo-Christian values. What are these values? The nuclear family, which is husband and wife for life. And children that are a product of that husband and wife. Science, the second pillar, which is based upon facts and not ideology. Real education, the third pillar, not indoctrination. And finally, religious freedom. And especially the church. The church. This is what made America great. This is what made this nation a light of freedom for the world. And this is why it was America that was chosen to keep the spirit of Antichrist in check. These things, therefore, were the target. These things had to be destroyed if America was going to fall. These things had to be taken over, and one by one, they have. The pillar of the nuclear family is no longer considered normal in this country. Husband, wife, and children, marriage and faithfulness. Till death do we part is almost a joke at weddings. These things are now the exception to the rule. In 2014, only 46% of households were nuclear families, husbands and wives together in their first marriage. In 1973, it was 73%. The causes for this are many. Premarital sex. It's a sin to have sex before marriage. It's a sin to have sex before marriage. Some of y'all still ain't saying amen. And the same people that are griping about same-sex marriage are the ones who yielded to premarital sex before marriage. Pornography is a cause of marriage breaking apart. Pornography destroys your marriage before it even begins. Another cause, little or no emphasis on morality in society, little or no emphasis on faithfulness in society, the unabated growth of a spirit of selfishness. No fear of God, improper understanding of love. From the time kids are little, they grow up thinking you fall in love. And it's because you look at somebody and, my God, they look good and I am in love. But you don't fall into love. You can fall out of love if you fall into love. Like some, you fall into a ditch. You fall into a pothole. You fall off a ladder. You do not fall into love. Listen, if you're just waiting to look at that girl and get googly eyes, my gosh, she looks good. Ooh, I'm gonna marry her. And you're looking at that guy, oh, he looks good. Look at that handsome dude jumping so high up on that front row. Wow. Can't wait to fall into love. And they sing these songs about love, all these Disney movies. Prince Charming comes and kisses Sleeping Beauty. What you don't get to see is Sleeping Beauty had morning breath because she'd been laying there for a few days. She ain't brushed her teeth for like a couple weeks, folks. She had bad morning breath. What you don't get to see, there's an old saying that opposites attract, but after a few years of marriages, opposites attack. We're going down to marriage seminar right now. I can feel it. You're looking at some handsome thing that you can spend the rest of your life. Let me tell you boys something. Don't you look at a girl that's ashamed to cry in the presence of the Lord. Don't be looking at no girl that's too pretty to praise him and too cute to clap. Young lady, don't be looking at a man that don't get broken in the altar before the presence of the Lord. You got to walk into love with both of your eyes open, because one day you're going to wake up to a human with flaws and weaknesses, and you still have to choose to love them. And so now most children are raised in unorthodox, unhealthy family settings. The full ramifications of this are yet to be experienced, but some of the most obvious ramifications are this generation's total lack of direction, this generation's inability to see truth, inability to discern right from the wrong. The nuclear family pillar is crumbling in this nation. Another pillar, the pillar of real science, has been radically removed. Random macroevolution is taught as fact in schools from kindergarten through graduate school. Scientific consensus is propagated as real. What that means is the idea that all real scientists agree in macroevolution. It's a total lie. There was a list of over 17,000 scientists that are Christian, that believe in God and do not believe in random macroevolution. But you will never hear about them. You will never be taught about them. Their opinion is isolated. Their opinion is ostracized. Their opinion is demeaned and denigrated and dismissed and disqualified, because science has become indoctrination rather than education. Many of the most famous scientists of history were devout Christians. Just to name a few, Gregor Mendel founded the science of genetics, a devout Christian. Isaac Newton admittedly spent more time in Bible study than in math and physics. Perhaps the most famous scientist of the 20th century, Albert Einstein, firmly denied atheism and expressed a belief in God, and a God that reveals himself in the harmony of what exists. Sounds a lot like Romans 1 and 20, what Paul said, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." You can just look at creation and know there is one God. There's somebody that designed this. That's what Paul's saying, and that's what Albert Einstein said. Godless and global humanistic ideology has become the guiding principle of science. Not evidence. that is observable, testable, repeatable. And if the evidence doesn't line up, it's hidden, it's lied about, it's destroyed. Other evidence is fabricated. Sometimes the real science sneaks through, though. For years, scientists and psychologists talked about a gay gene. A gay gene. That people were literally born gay because of genetic predisposition. However, just a few years ago, the largest study on the topic ever done, over 409,000 people were studied. Professors from MIT and Harvard concluded there is no such thing as a gay gene. Well, all they talked about in the 90s and beyond was the fact that homosexuals were born that way. And now that this study is done, they just change their story. Well, it's not one gene. It's a group of genes. It's a combined genetic markers and combined genetic influences. That's why they can't find one gene. Another lie is that there is no real difference between male and female. Boy, I wish I was getting a lot more amens than I'm getting right now. Maybe y'all are screaming it and your mask is muffling it or something. I'm going to just take that. There's a difference between boys and girls. Hey, everybody should be amen. There's a difference between boys and girls. There is a biological difference. There is an emotional difference. There is a spiritual difference. There is a difference between male and female, and there's nothing else. There is nothing else besides male and female. There are at least 7,500 genetic differences between male and female. Men are from Mars. Women are from Venus. It's a book you need to read before you walk into love. Less than 0.02% of humans born will have something called an intersex birth defect, which is the champion cry, the clarion cry of the LGBTQ and so on and so forth movement. That what about kids that are born intersex, neither male or female? There are kids born like that. But it's literally 0.02%. It's a birth defect. It doesn't prove transgenderism is valid. And now in our society, when kids are taken to the doctor because they are having gender dysphoria, which is what the American Psychology Association used to call this. It used to be something that needed to be treated and something that people could overcome, but now they're saying you must accept it. They've changed the documents. They give these kids something called Lupron. Lupron is a hormone blocker. If you're a male and you want to be a female, you can take Lupron and it'll kill the testosterone. And then they give them the opposite sex hormone. In other words, a boy will take Lupron and block testosterone, and then they will give that boy estrogen. His voice will never grow deep. His body will never become like a normal man's body. And what they do not tell anybody is that the combination of Lupron and the opposite gender's hormones makes children sterile. They will never have children. And they are making these decisions at 5 years old and 10 years old, and parents who don't know any better are being told by somebody in a white coat, if you don't do this, your kid's going to commit suicide. Well, if it's natural, why do they need drugs for it to play out? And why such violence over pronouns? If somebody doesn't say sir to me, or Reverend Capitella, whatever, I know what I am. If they don't call me by my title, if they don't call me by some, it don't matter. I know exactly what I am. You know what the problem is? Anybody that dares say the truth about what's going on, you are a light to their mind, and you show them something is really wrong that needs to be fixed. Folks, I've never seen something so crazy and outrageous in all my life. There are literally boys and young men that decide to be girls in high school, and they join the girls' wrestling team. And they end up whooping everybody. Surprise. They're not built like the other girls. They got extra muscles. Men are built differently. They are built different. We got broader shoulders, even though mine are not so broad as others. That we got broader shoulders. We've got different bones. We've got different joints and different ligaments. We're built to wrestle. And they are rewarding. One young man in particular was the state champion. He was the state champion, and they were praising her because of her bravery to come out. Let me tell you something. That should be a slap in the face of every female that's alive. And people that know better. That ain't a girl. That's a guy. I knew him. People that know better are too afraid to say anything for fear of repercussion, because the spirit of Antichrist has put such a spirit of fear across our society. Everybody just keeps their mouth shut. There's a story of the emperor's new clothes. Y'all heard of that story? It's like a nursery rhyme. It's either in the nursery rhyme or the book of Proverbs. I can't remember. This tyrannical dictator emperor wanted a new set of clothes, and so a con artist came to town. He said, I'll make you the greatest clothes ever been made for an emperor, except I have to do it behind closed doors. I'm going to do it from the most delicate, sophisticated, incredible thread known to man. And he hid behind the doors. Nobody was able to see the clothes. He was a con artist. He wasn't making anything. And he got this invisible thread and made invisible garments. And finally, when it was ready, he showed the emperor. And the emperor didn't want to look like an idiot. And so he just looked at the nothing that was hanging on the hanger. And he said, it's incredible. And the con artist told him to take off his royal robes and put on the new clothes, which meant he would be naked. And the naked emperor walked out into the street, and everybody was told to celebrate the new clothing of the emperor. And everybody, like robots, was going along with what they were told to do, except for a little boy who didn't understand the new rules of society. All he knew was common sense. And he said, look, mommy, the emperor's naked. What's happened to us? That we are, my God, I am fighting hell right now. What has happened to us? I'll tell you what's happened to us. They put a spiritual mask over your mouth before they put a physical mask over your mouth. That's what's happened to us. And now the Church of the Living God, folks, there are preachers and there are pastors that have lawsuits against them because they're speaking against these things. I want to tell you something. I don't care if they take me away in chains. There's one God. There's one Bible. There's one male. There's one female. There's marriage between man and woman for life. There's nothing else. Only the Word of God is right. Hey, if you believe that, lift your voice and praise the Lord. Thank you for the truth, Lord. Do it again. Lift your voice and praise the Lord for a moment. Just come on, loose yourself in the Holy Ghost. I believe your word is right. I don't care what the new science says. I don't care what my school says. I believe your word is right. I believe in the truth of the living God. You may be seated. Look at your neighbor and say, I believe the truth. Look at your other neighbor and say, I'm not afraid to speak the truth. Tell them, in love. In love. Hey, if a transgender person came into this church and you hated them and you treated them bad, you'd go to hell before they would. Are you kidding me? This is the only hope they have. This is the only hope they have to get around people like you and young people like you and ministers like you and young ladies. This is the only hope they have. When they come in, you ought to welcome them with open arms and say, hey, there is another way. He set me free. He can set you free too. It don't matter if it's alcohol. It don't matter if it's drugs. It don't matter if it's transgenderism. God can set you free. Maybe seated. If I say number three, the pillar of public education has dramatically fallen. Starting with kindergarten, evolutionary propaganda, homosexual propaganda, racial propaganda, Marxist propaganda. They are not waiting until kids grow up. They want them as young as they can get them. The main system of indoctrination in the U.S. of A. is the public school system. The USA ranks 38th in the world in math and science. We probably rank number one for celebrity recognition, sports figure recognition, pronoun understanding. Humanist and leftist professors outnumber conservative ones in Ivy League schools, 12-1. When you look across the board, it's 30-1. 30-1. It's no longer public education. It is compulsory public indoctrination. Why is there such a fight against homeschooling and private schooling and charter schools? Why is there such a fight? It is certainly not because homeschoolers and private schoolers are doing worse. They outperform public school students by a huge margin, as a matter of fact. In one study, homeschoolers outperform the public school counterparts by an average of 30 to 37% in all subjects. Any homeschoolers in the house? God bless you. You may be sitting next to a genius. So what's the problem? Why aren't they happy? Homeschool kids are doing great. Why aren't they happy? Because it's never been about real education. It's about influence. Who's going to train them, you or them? They're not happy because they want to indoctrinate, not educate. And if you educate, it's going to be a lot harder to indoctrinate. And they want influence over our children to shape them in their image. But in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, the church of the living God is going to hold that stuff back. So you see the major pillars of our society. The nuclear family is on a trending path to make it obsolete. Science based upon facts, not ideology. This is no longer mainstream at all. Education, not indoctrination. Not happening. Indoctrination has taken precedent. But one pillar still remains. Religious freedom. And especially the church. The church. I want to tell you something. The church is the target. The church is the target of the spirit of Antichrist that has been released on planet Earth in a measure we have never seen before. One thing that the Coroni baloney has shown us is that it seems to be unreasonably hostile to church. Unreasonably hostile to church. The government seems to be unreasonably hostile to church in its wake. After I got the virus, I got nailed. I had to go to the hospital, got nailed. My wife says it's because I'm a baby. Coughing, I think God healed me. I really do. I went there. I couldn't hardly breathe right, coughing up all kinds of stuff. Went there, and they heard my lungs. They put the stethoscope on my lungs, and they said, well, you either have bad pneumonia or the coronavirus because something's going on in there. And then they put the X, and as soon as he was done listening, my body started changing instantly. After 11 days of high fever, laying on that bed, my body started changing. I felt it happen. And I told my wife, I'm like, my God, I don't know what's happened. I'm breathing better. I wasn't coughing. And they did an X-ray, and they're like, man, we don't know what's going on. Your lungs look, there's no issue whatsoever. There's not a single drop of nothing in your lungs. When we listen to it with the stethoscope, that thing they have on their neck, that shiny little thing, stethoscope, they were blown away. Anyway, I got a call afterwards because I tested positive. Got a call from the Florida Health Department. They begin to ask questions. Where are you from? Have you been traveling? Where did you go recently? Well, I went to Arizona. Oh, there's been a big outbreak in Arizona. Are you in ministry? Yes. Do you travel for ministry? Yes. And then they asked me a question. They said, do you go to that oneness Pentecostal church, a united Pentecostal church right down the road? They didn't ask me, what bars have you been going to? They didn't ask me, have you been going to ball games? Have you been going to the protests where everybody's lined up shoulder to shoulder, spitting on each other, knocking down buildings and busting through windows? They didn't ask if I've been to the inauguration where people are dancing in the streets. And just so happens that our media found an incredible research that somehow, some way, the protest and the inauguration and the ball games have nothing to do with spreading the coronavirus. But an article was written in the USA Today that said the church is the deadliest place to be. There's something a little bit hypocritical going on here. And the people, woo! People who are making the rules, for some reason, they don't seem to be as afraid as the Coroni baloney as we are. I've seen government officials. I told you this. This is not really a political message. This is just, you know, preachers just expose hypocrisy when they see it. And so I've seen the public officials doing videos about why people should stay at home, skip your vacation. The video was done while the guy was on vacation in Mexico. Governors that are telling people to stay at home, don't fellowship, they've been caught. The problem is everybody has a phone and a video camera now. They were caught at restaurants with dozens and dozens of people. Why? Why? They know what everybody else knows in government. What the target of this is the spirit of Antichrist is narrowing his focus to shut down the church, the freedom to go to church and lift your voice and lift your hands and praise God however you want to. That is the target. And if you don't obey, you're a super spreader. I told that woman, I do not feel comfortable answering these questions. I'm not telling you where I go to church. Oh, okay. They asked my wife the same thing. I've talked to other people. They asked them, do you go to oneness Pentecostal churches? Why? Because the church is the only thing standing in between the Antichrist and his design for the end of this world. The church is the last domino to fall. It's the last defense of freedom and truth. Folks, it ain't the Senate. We lost the Senate. If you're a Republican, whatever. Well, hear me out. I'm not taking a political stand. We lost the Senate. People are crying. We lost the House. People are crying. We lost the presidency. People are crying. Folks, I want to tell you something. The Senate and the House and the president ain't got nothing to do with the solutions that are needed in America and the rest of the world. Don't got nothing to do with it. What has to do with it is you, the church, the church, the church, the church. Young people that are on fire, that's what happens. You mess up the devil so bad. You mess up his agenda so bad. You turn the enemy against himself. When you come to church and you clap and you lift your hands and you lift your voice and you forget about everything else, what are you doing? You're releasing the Holy Ghost into the atmosphere. You're releasing the Holy Ghost into the atmosphere. When you lift your voice, you're releasing the Holy Ghost. And the devil has tricked us into substituting a hand clap for a lifted voice. And especially with masks on, folks, I might get in trouble. Oh, Lord. You can rebuke me later, okay? I'll accept it. I'll receive it. I'm leaving town. Hand clapping does not release spiritual authority. The voice releases spiritual authority. That's why, apostolic young people of Missouri, you ought to fill your lungs with air and you ought to praise God with all of your might, because when you do, you release the Holy Ghost into the atmosphere and it restrains the power of darkness. That's why there's so much fight against it. That's why there's so much resistance to it. That's why you got a cover over your mouth right now. But in spite of that thing, fill your lungs with air and begin to praise God with all of your might. We are the ones with the power to change the world and hold back this darkness. I want you to talk in tongues right now. So speak in tongues if you got the Holy Ghost. And see, the issue, our presbyter nailed it. There's a fear. There's a spirit of fear. People don't really know what to do right now. What's legal? What's legal? What's out of, what are we doing to step overboard? And I know the spirit, you got to step overboard if you're going to be in the spirit, but what's legal? What's allowable? And now we have a new excuse to be carnal. It's legitimate. It's medical. You can sit there and not move and not do nothing and keep your mouth shut. You got a reason to do it. Folks, I'm not going to preach against something else when there's this elephant sitting in the room right now. This is where we're at. This is where we're at. I'm going to help you. Just a couple weeks ago, I was at Arkansas Youth Convention. There's 1,000 kids packed together. And man, it was the first time they'd done something since this thing broke out last year, beginning of last year. And you could tell, I mean, from the get-go, they were there, but they did not know what was legal. There was such a spiritual pressure. There's more going on than what we see with our eyes. There is a literal spiritual force trying to hold back the church, trying to keep the church subdued, keep dancing subdued, keep yelling and shouting old-time apostolic holy rolling stuff. think we're going to pause holy rolling while this thing goes and plays its... Are you kidding me? Problem is that some of y'all were never holy rollers to begin with, and so now you have an excuse. I'm a holy roller. I ain't waiting for this thing to be over. I ain't waiting on it to be over to dance. I ain't waiting on it to be over to shout. I'm not going to wait for it to end to lift my voice. I'm not going to wait. I'm so thankful for these young men running the aisles, and there was a few ladies running. You can sit there and nod your head all you want to, but it ain't because of a virus that you're doing that. It's because you've settled into a carnal state. You've settled into a rebellious carnal state. Come on, apostolic holy rollers. When's the last time you just let it all go and acted like you are the church of the living God? Brother Campatella, I thought you just said you got sick for 30 days. I got sick. It was weird. It was the weirdest thing I ever felt. Brother Campatella, is God going to protect us from the corony baloney? I don't know. You may die. There's been people that I know and love, men of God, who have died. Is God going to protect us? I don't know. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are you going to die in that fiery furnace? We don't know. It might happen. But we still ain't gonna bow. We still ain't gonna bow. We still ain't, I don't care if I die, I'm still not gonna bow. I'm not gonna bow. I'm not gonna bow to the spirit of the Antichrist. Never. Lift your voice right now. Lift your voice. Come on, let the Holy Ghost out. Let the Holy Ghost out. Come on, lift your voice. Let the Holy Ghost out. Yakare Shaya! Ilobo Yala Mataya! Come on, the devil needs to hear the voice of defiance from the people of God that scream praises. And it says to the devil, we will never be conquered. We will never be silenced. We will never be put into a box. Hey, let me tell you something. This world is ready to be conquered. Our society, God help them, they're ready to be conquered. Whenever a society rejects God, God gives them a king.
God said to Samuel, why are you crying for Saul? Or why are you upset that they want a king? They've rejected me, and so I will give them a king. Thomas Jefferson said, the only way this constitutional will work is if the people that live by it are able to govern themselves. It ain't like that anymore. I got some good news and bad news. It ain't never going back the way it used to be. America, as we knew it, is gone. You're not hearing that from a patriot. I know in the Holy Ghost. Believe it or don't believe it. It's gone. Doesn't mean I still ain't going to vote and do all that stuff. What has happened? You see, there's this clock in eternity that's been clicking, clicking, ticking, ticking, down to the last seconds of the last hour of the last days. And for God to accomplish what he is going to accomplish in the last day, the Spirit had to be released. It's here. You know what all this stuff about it, you know how one of the biggest agendas of this government is climate agenda. Climate agenda. You know what? I'm going to say something that ain't popular. I believe they see something. I do believe they see that there's a time clock. And that what we are doing right now is not sustainable. Now, they're lashing out in all kinds of ways that are just don't even make sense. But scientists are watching. If you just add up the multiplication of society, human reproduction, we will overrun this planet. Unsustainable. That's why abortion is promoted like it is. Because there's some people in the background that you cannot see that are trying to control population growth. It's not sustainable. You know what? They're right. This earth was never meant to last forever. There is an end date on the planet. And they think it's climate catastrophe. We know it to be something entirely different. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, get your head up. Look up. Your redemption is drawing nigh. We are about to leave this earth. We're the last generation. We're the last generation. I'm totally convinced we are the last generation. And this whole movement of gay pride, it's so amazing to me how deceived they are. Pride cometh before destruction, a hearty spirit before the fall. But not only that, they have used the rainbow flag as their anthem. The rainbow flag. They have not read the scripture. Because Jesus, my wife and I were in San Francisco a couple Junes ago, and it was gay pride month. Whole month. Whole month of it. They were dancing in the streets with the rainbow flags. And they were wearing rainbow shirts. And there was rainbow posts and rainbow signs above restaurants. And everybody was rainbow this and rainbow that. Everything was, there were lights painting rainbows on everything. They never read the scripture as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Every time they have a rainbow flag a-flapping. You know what? God's using them to preach his last coming, his second coming. He's messed them up. They're literally preaching the second coming of Jesus Christ. When they're waving that rainbow flag, they're saying Jesus is coming. When they're dancing in the street, because Pentecostals won't do it. He's using them to preach it. They're dancing with their gay pride flag on, and they're dancing. They don't even realize what they're dancing about. They're dancing about Jesus is coming. Read the scripture, Jesus is coming. I was in Vancouver. No, Toronto. And it was gay pride. They have the largest gay pride festival in the entire world in Toronto, Canada. I went to the hotel, preached that morning, went to the hotel. They blocked off all the streets, and they were dancing in the streets. You could see them dancing in the streets. And I got so mad. I said, God, makes me so mad. They're blocking whole sections. We got to take all these detours just to go to church. We want to go to church. We want to go to the building that's our church, and the building's blocked off. You know what God said to me? He said, if my people would dance in the streets, the sinners would have to go to their buildings. It's quiet. As the church began, so shall the church end. The first shall be last. The last shall be first. The church began with a revival that pushed them outdoors. The church will end with a revival that looses us from our buildings. You don't got to clap. Y'all don't know what to do. We need to take this thing outside. Listen, everything's going overboard right now. Nothing is balanced. Nothing is normal. We ought to have an unbalanced prayer life right now. We ought to go overboard in worship right now. Hey, we ought to go crazy in worshiping God. I'm so sick. God help us. Sophisticated Pentecost was a bore last year. It's lethal this year. Sophisticated dead Pentecost was just mundane and boring you last year. But this year, it'll kill you. You got to make up in your mind. We are the final pillar to stand. We are literally restraining the Antichrist. And I'm going to give it everything that I got. I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to tone it down. I'm not going to turn it down. I'm going all the way. I'm going overboard. Do whatever you feel right now. Do whatever you feel right now. Right now. Do whatever you feel right now. Shakayelo bosataye. Katakarabaka shakayalabaka sata. Everybody that just took off running, come right up here. Anybody that did a lap at all tonight, come right up here. Now listen, I'm not being mean. Please forgive me. I'm trying to do this in the right spirit, but God help you. God deliver you from that spectator, stinking spectator spirit that just came on you. God help you. You don't got the same Holy Ghost I got. Ain't no way on earth. Ain't no way on earth. God, yeah, I feel like I'm about to go crazy right now, Brother McCoy. I feel like I'm coming out of my skin right now. I feel like I'm preaching to 10,000 people that are just roaring at me, so hungry. You know what's doing it? Your hunger right here. Your hunger right here. I, in the name of Jesus Christ, and I hope somebody else catches the bandwagon, I loose every single one of you right now from all fear. Don't worry about what people think about you. Don't worry about nobody just looking at you with some dead, dried, blank face. You do whatever you feel. And I want to challenge some of you to get out of your stinking pew and just get in the Holy Ghost. If you want to social distance, go to the back. Get out of your rut. Get out of your box. We got the Holy Ghost. We got the Holy Ghost. We got the Holy Ghost. And we're going to let it out. We're going to let it flow. We're going to loose it. That's it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Go, go, go. Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go. That's it. Find a spot and get in the Holy Ghost. Find a place and get in the Spirit. Find a place and get in the Spirit. Find a place and worship God however you want to. Devil, you're not going to take my voice.
Devil, you're not stealing my worship. Devil, you're not taking my dance. Devil, you're not going to steal fanaticism. I defy you. Everybody else is running for cover, Goliath, but I defy you. I defy you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Shakarabasatare kayala maye. Yala rabasatare kayala mahaya. Hilala makare andala bahayala masataya. I want to challenge you right now. Don't point at anybody. Don't point your mouth at anybody. Just kind of lift up your head and pull your mask down for just like 30 seconds. Just 30 seconds and fill the atmosphere with your praise. Fill the atmosphere with your praise. Fill the atmosphere with your praise. There it is. There it is. That's what the devil's trying to shut up. That's what the devil's trying to shut up. That's what the devil's trying to kill. No! No! We will clap our hands and we will shout unto the Lord! Hallelujah!
If you feel comfortable doing it, get your hands on somebody right now. Come on, don't stop. Don't let it die. Don't let it die. Get your hands on somebody. God wants to take over this whole place right now. God wants to take over this whole place from front to back, from side to side. I want you to loose that person you're praying for from fear. Loose them from fear. Loose them from inhibition. I loose you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I set you free in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's it, girls, dance. That's it, ladies, dance. That's it, young men, dance.
That's it. Stay in the spirit. Stay in the spirit. Stay in the spirit. Come on, resist that thing. Rebel against that pressure that tries to put you back in your spot. Rebel against that pressure that tries to put you back in your place. Rebel against that pressure that tries to put you back in that quiet mode. In the name of Jesus, we are the church of the living God. We are the church of the living God. That's it, be apostolic. That's it, be apostolic, be apostolic, be apostolic, be apostolic, be apostolic, be apostolic, be apostolic. We're not some new version, we're the old version. We're not some updated version, we're the old version. We're old-time apostolic Pentecostals. Hey, if they danced in the street then, the Roman soldiers might kill them. If they worship God out loud then, the Sanhedrin might kill them. The church of God has always had to fight off that junk. We're gonna be the apostolic church. We're gonna be the apostolic church. Woo!
That's it. The gift of faith is in the house right now. The gift of faith is working in the house right now. Just grab it. Reach up and grab it. Reach up and grab it. Come on. Some of you been under this cloud, this dark cloud that the media is putting on you, that scientists are putting on you, that all the people at the White House are putting on you, that the politicians are putting. Hey, come on. Break through that cloud barrier and look up. Look up and see God's perspective. We're about to see revival like we've never seen in our life. We're about to see an outpouring of the Spirit like we've never seen in our life. If you think the church is going out with a whimper, you haven't read the Bible. If you think the church is going out with a whisper, you have not read the Bible. We're going out in the fire. We were born in the fire, and we're going out in the fire. Gifts of the Spirit are flowing right now. The gifts of the Spirit are flowing right now. Get your hands on somebody. Minister to somebody. Minister to somebody. Let the gifts of the Spirit flow in the name of Jesus. I set you free. I set you free. I set you free. I set you free.
Presbyters, Lord. Strengthen our presbyters, Lord. They're dealing with this on a level not many people are, trying to make decisions that are wise. Lift them. God, guide their minds and their spirits.
If you don't know what to say, just talk in tongues. Just flow in tongues. I curse every spirit of transgenderism in the name of Jesus. I expose that spirit right now. That voice that's in your head telling you that you're different, that you're not what you've been made. I curse that spirit now. I expose the lie. God is going to give you a vision of yourself through his eyes in the name of Jesus. You are either male or female. God's going to help you. God's going to help you. God's going to give you power over that thing, and you're going to help other people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's it. If you don't know what else to do, just let your voice fill the atmosphere. Just let your voice fill the atmosphere. Let's let your prayer, just let your talking in tongues, just let your worship fill the atmosphere. We are one God apostolic tongue-talking church, born-again believers. We are bold as lions. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as lions. Yabarakalabaremashataya, yarabakoremandolobohosataya.
I see people laying hands on everybody right now. There's people ministering in the Holy Ghost. Don't stop. Don't stop. There's something moving, mightily moving right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Young man, what I have, I give to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I set you free. I set you free. I loose you into this in the name of Jesus.
Yada la barrebaca telebi avra macayando lo borosha taya. I want you to pray right now. God, give me your perspective on what's happening in our world. Pray that powerfully. Pray that with passion. Pray that. God, give me your perspective on what's happening in this world. Help me to see through your eyes what's going on in this world. Open borders may be bad for America, but it's good for revival. It's good for revival. We're not trying to build a country. We're trying to build a kingdom. We're trying to build a kingdom. We're trying to build a kingdom. Help me to see from your perspective what's happening. Not the media's perspective, not anybody else's perspective, what you're thinking about this, what your design is in this. For the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men and setteth up over them whomsoever he will, even the basest of men, to do his will, to perform his will. Hebala kayaraba shatai.